Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. My name is Daryl Ong, and you tune into the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. Our Earth has 7 seas, 165 rivers, and 300 million lakes, which makes a total of 300 million trillion gallons of water. But yet, there are 2.5 billion people in the world today that do not have access to clean water. That makes one out of every three people in the world. Each day, 10,000 innocent deaths are caused by water-related diseases alone. For many of us, these statistics can be very shocking, for our access to clean water comes so easy and we tend to be oblivious to all the problems plaguing the underprivileged community that just don't have access to sanitary water. Joining us this week is Dr. Rajiv Banod, a medical practitioner turned social entrepreneur who founded H2Go Global, which is a technology-based company that works on providing a cutting-edge solution to water filtration with a mission to end water poverty worldwide.
I came back to Malaysia from medical school in Moscow about 7 years ago. I served the government hospital in Hospital Tengku Apuan Rahimah in Klang for a couple of years. It was during that time that I stumbled across this very exciting military technology that had the ability to convert dirtiest, most contaminated water into sterile drinking water. And, you know, it was about then that I think my whole career path took a very interesting change.
Dr. Rajiv's initiative H2Go Global uses British nanotechnology with the ability to convert dirty water into sanitary drinking water. The technology filters water molecules down to 15 nanometers, and by filtering water down to 15 nanometers, the system filters out all viruses, bacteria, and parasites from contaminated water sources.
Well, I think initially, you know, the excitement of seeing, it was almost like watching a magic trick, right? Where right. You've got filthy, you know, dirty water, muddy water, you know, being processed and instantly being converted into sterile, clean, safe drinking water. I mean, putting that aside, you know, I think the more I researched and the more I looked into communities that technology like this could benefit, it shocked me, Daryl, that worldwide, you know, we still today have got over 1.2 billion people that are trapped and stuck in water poverty. You know, we talk about, you know, sending a man mission to Mars. You know, we talk about, you know, how advanced we are in terms of, you know, technology, you know, tallest buildings in the world and all of that is great. But it is shocking that there are still, you know, 1/6 of our population that still don't have access to the most basic commodity, which is clean water. The core technology was still the same, but it was incorporated into, you know, a military product. So yeah, so we actually went in, we acquired and, you know, bought over the technology. You know, we've got a very, very dedicated team that is working with us. We've got, you know, engineers who have, you know, redesigned it. And, you know, so we have rebuilt and redesigned and retweaked the technology, focused solely, you know, towards rural communities that do not have any access to electricity. Because these systems that we have do not require any source of electricity to run.
After learning about the technology, Dr. Rajiv and team set out to redesign it and to use it to change the world.
When we first started, our first product that we launched was a communal-based product. We wanted to go big. We wanted to, you know, try to cover as many people as possible. Mm-hmm. So yes, our H2Go R1 tanks, it stores 2,000 litres of water, but it can produce in total 2 million litres of sterile, clean drinking water. You know, so if you're looking at a community of, say, 250 people, they can use the R1 on a daily basis to get clean drinking water for up to four and a half years. And it's only at that point that you need to replace the core cartridge with a new cartridge, and that's good to go for another 4 years.
Our country gets hit with flash floods every year during the monsoon season. The situation in the East Coast, namely in states of Kelantan, Terengganu and Pahang, is very alarming, where thousands of people have been brought to evacuation centres, forcing schools to close and destroying crops. From big tanks that can sustain an underprivileged family to personal water bottles, H2Go Global goes on a different direction.
Most companies or most people or most entities, you know, their natural progression is to scale up.
Yeah.
If I've got something big, I want to do that, my next product has to be bigger. But with this, I think it's been the total opposite. You know, we realized that with our communal systems, you know, there was some, you know, basic infrastructure that needed to be fabricated. The financing to get a system installed in a village needs to come from somewhere. Yeah. The end villagers can't afford a system to be installed in their village. So we scaled down, and the idea to scale down came from watching this video on the floods that happened in Bangkok a couple of years ago. I found it, you know, mind-boggling that you have got thousands of people that are trapped with millions of water, around millions of gallons of water in this flood zone. And their biggest issue being faced, you know, is that they didn't have any clean water to drink, right? So governments spend millions of dollars getting bottled water to the victims of these natural disasters. And, you know, so we're trying to focus on disaster relief operations. And that's when we came up with our little, you know, very durable H2Go bottle that is basically a small little empty bottle that you can, you know, fill up with any source of filthy water, give it a squeeze, and what comes out is sterile, clean drinking water.
Since the launch of the R1 tank, H2Go has installed 7,000 units all over the world, where they train locals on how to maintain the tanks, as this element of empowerment and teamwork comes highly essential.
I think one very important aspect of our rollout has always been the element of empowerment. Because when we go into a village, we don't, you know, when we go in there, we get the locals involved, we get the village head involved, and when we have installed our systems, we conduct a little workshop to allow them to understand how to operate the systems, and you know, we hand over the systems to them. So the ownership is given to the villagers. They feel empowered that this system now belongs to us. It's my responsibility to look after it. It's very interesting because initially when we first started, we did go to a few sites where we installed it, done, you know, them to applaud us, we leave. We come back after 6 months and the system has been vandalized.
Okay.
People don't appreciate it, you know. So I think the element of empowerment is extremely important. A big chunk of what we do is that we, you know, always collaborate with partners in country. So, you know, when we work in South America, for example, you know, we have got partners in country that do these inspections on a regular basis. You know, when you empower the locals, like I said earlier, 9 out of 10 times, you know, when there's an issue with the systems, these issues can be resolved very easily. And you know, this is what we want. It's a very advanced technology made easy. These systems have been designed to be very user friendly. You do not need to have a engineer stationed at every village. You don't need to do that. So, you know, when we empower the end users, you know, to not just understand what the system is all about, it also teaches them on how to, you know, keep the systems operational for many years. To us, you know, it's very simple. Clean water doesn't discriminate. You might be an individual living in the most affluent neighborhood in the world. You might be a rural, you know, kid, you know, trapped in some part of the world with absolutely nothing. But the one commodity you're going to need is clean water. And, you know, to communities that need that, you know, we are willing to collaborate with, you know, more or less anyone to be able to get that commodity to them.
To us living in urban communities, clean water is the most basic need, whereas for those in the rural areas, clean water is considered a luxury and a privilege. It's easy for us to take this essential commodity for granted.
In some parts of the world, we actually have gone in and we've brought a group of medical doctors in as well with us. You know, many of these communities have been isolated for years. And, you know, so just having seen the sheer joy that I think it brings. And, you know, we take these things for granted. Recently, there were water cuts, you know, I think just around the time of Christmas.
It was like the end of the world.
It was the end of the world. People were, you know, livid. You know, life came to a halt that for 2 days, we were not going to have water. You know, I mean, how do we live our lives? You know, what's going to happen? You know, it made me smile, to be honest with you, that, you know, it just shows you how we take these things for granted. And when you bring this to a community that's never seen clean water before, and to them, all they got to do is just turn on a tap and have clean water, you know, right outside their doorstep. I think that smile, that joy, that glow that it brings to their face, I think that it has been very heartwarming.
With all the time spent merely just to survive, rural communities do not have the opportunity for basic education or to generate a sustainable income. Dr. Rajiv explains how access to clean water can improve every aspect of their lives.
I'm not speaking about Malaysia solely per se, but on average, you know, if study done in sub-Saharan Africa, predominantly it's always a job of women to go and collect water for the families, right? And on average, they do walk up to 6 hours a day just to go and pick water. And most of the time, this water that they collect is dirty water. It's not clean water. It's water from a river that is, you know, highly contaminated that they bring back. And, you know, because of that, young girls, they don't go to school, right? Children are deprived of education because their shoulders are needed to help bring the water back to their villages. So, you know, the domino effect that you can see when you bring clean water into a community, right, it allows the women, the kids to go to school. It allows the women time that, you know, they can spend getting a second job to bring more income to the family. And, you know, the general state of health is a lot better. So I think the domino effect is something that, you know, very, you know, motivating. And it keeps us inspired to keep going. You know, we talk about, you know, first world problems, and I think we get stressed. You know, we have our fair share of stresses and whatnot. And I think that, yeah, I mean, living in the city, you know, you sometimes just tend to be a little bit more oblivious to what's happening not too far from here. I've been to, you know, communities, like I said earlier, in Cameron Highlands, and I've been to communities, you know, about an hour and a half, 2 hours drive from the city. And it is absolutely shocking. I mean, like, you know, that you have got communities. I was in Pulau Keri sometime last week, over a week ago. And there's this community over there called the Mameri community. And these people have been isolated, living in, in an isolated manner for over 300 years now.
Wow.
And you know, just going in there, and it's another world altogether. And it's a short hour's drive from where we're staying here in Kuala Lumpur. So, you know, I think it's good to at times, you know, take a little bit of time off, you know, your busy sort of work schedule or whatever it is, and you know, just take that short drive out into the, you know, rural areas. And it's beautiful. A lot of these communities, you know, are living in very beautiful settings, you know, with nature. I think a lot of these people are very contented.
Nearly half the world's population, more than 3.3 billion people, live on less than $250 a day, and more than 1.3 billion live in extreme poverty, which is less than $1.25 a day. Sub-Saharan Africa and South Asia themselves account for about 80% of the global poor and 81% of all child deaths in the world. Clean water would help bring these numbers down.
If you look at, you know, factual statistics, you know, you have got over 3.5 million innocent lives that are claimed every single year, year after year, solely because these are people that die from waterborne disease. They do not have any access to clean water. I just do not think that there's enough awareness about what humanitarian crisis we are in, solely because of the lack of, you know, adequate clean water. If you talk about 3.5 million people, that's a huge number. You know, that's the entire population of Kuala Lumpur.
Yeah.
You know, double the population of Kuala Lumpur that gets wiped out every single year. and you know, we don't seem to be having much. I don't think the global awareness has reached a point where people are concerned or even aware that, you know, we are being faced with these sort of crises. The amount of time I think spent on the world watching the American presidential campaign, you know, I mean, maybe they found it a bit more exciting. You know, at the same time, you know, it's just it saddens me to a certain extent that the awareness of what water poverty is doing to communities all over the world is something that, you know, I think is very, very shocking. We have been doing what we've been doing for the past 6 years now,
yeah.
5-6 years. And I think, you know, to us, when you look at the numbers, you know, our journey has just begun. And I've said this many times before. So we're going to keep, you know, doing what we have been doing. You know, we live in a world where we can get the word out there. We live in a digital age where social media, I think, is playing a very important role in getting, you know, information delivered out there. And, you know, I think we have got a very bold mission, which is to eradicate water poverty worldwide. Yeah. It almost sounds, you know, something very frivolous or you know, which might reflect on some element of naivety. But that is our belief. We think we have a technology that can do that. You know, our technology, our production cost per liter of water is less than 0.5 cents per liter. So it's cheap, it's efficient, you know, and it's something that could benefit many people. And, you know, so we're going to keep collaborating with, you know, whether it's governments or NGOs or corporate entities or individuals. You know, we're not going to stop doing what we've been doing.
That was Dr. Rajiv Bhanot of H2Go Global. If you'd like to find out more about this initiative and help them in any way, you can head over online to h2go.global. That's h2go.global. Coming up, me and Hanif will take you through the exciting events happening in this month of February. Do stay tuned. My name's Daryl Ong. You're tuned into I Love KL on BFM 89.9.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right. Save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right.
What is this? This looks good.
Wow.
That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
BFM 89.9, you tune in to I Love KL, the show that brings you closer to the people, places, and of every first week of the month, the events of our capital city. My name's Daryl Ong, today together with
Hanif Haruddin. Hi, yes, guys.
First time on the show, Hanif.
Yep.
This is a voice you'll be hearing on the show in the upcoming month, so keep a lookout for that voice. So the first event up this month, it's Valentine's month, so love is in the air, apparently.
always, yeah.
There'll be a play on the classic romance tale of Romeo and Juliet. So you know the classic tale, Romeo loves Juliet, Juliet loves Romeo, but Romeo's family hates Juliet's family, and Juliet's family hates Romeo's family. Quite a tragic story, but there's a spin to this play. They'll be featuring a 4-strong all-female ensemble from the Handelbars, which is a performing troupe from the UK, and these 4 women will play all 19 roles, including the men.
That's interesting.
So it's meant to be like a funny take on a classic love story. So yeah, this event is not to be missed. Tickets are available from 60 ringgit to 75 ringgit. It'll be held at PJ Life Arts. Do head over to pjlifearts.my to check out the listings and when the shows are going on.
From then on, we move on to maybe if, let's say, you're not interested in love, if, let's say, that's not your thing.
Is that you, honey? Let's not go there.
All right, okay. So, yeah, if you're interested in something a bit more different and you want to learn something, maybe you can join the Science Cafe KL. I think you've interviewed them for I Love KL,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they've been on the show maybe a year ago or a year or so ago. And one thing I do like about Science Cafe KL is they break down really complex theories and You just break it down really simply. Yeah.
At a very chill setting, right? Usually at a cafe.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
So for this month, they do monthly talk at a cafe. Again, they will call a scientist to come and brief on complex theories, like you said. So for this month, they're going to be inviting Dr. Kazuhide Sean Akuda. He's a postdoctoral scientist from the Natural Product Drug Discovery Program, Cancer Research Malaysia.
Oh.
And he's going to be talking about zebrafish.
Zebrafish?
Yeah, zebrafish. So zebrafish is something we commonly see in aquariums, but it can help in actually furthering the development of medicine and drugs. So doctors and
really,
scientists...
Really, a fish?
Yes. So zebrafish is commonly used by scientists to help discover new medicines and maybe drugs as well. It's a small fish actually, but it looks... There is some stripes, like black and white stripes,
okay, yeah,
on so the fish. Like... So it looks a bit like a zebra.
Wow, okay. Yeah. I've seen the fish, but I never even thought it would be used for medicinal purposes.
Yeah, because apparently it has 70% common genes with human beings. 70%, which is quite a lot.
Wow.
But yeah.
Okay.
So if you're interested, you can go to the Bee at Publica. It's on the 8th of February, on this coming Wednesday. It starts at 7:45pm to maybe 9:45pm. So you probably take around 2 hours.
Great stuff. Nice.
Yeah, so if you want to find out more, you can go to Science Cafe KL's Facebook page. It's facebook.com/sciencecafekl.
And if science talks are not your thing and cultural talks are,
you can probably listen to Edin Koo. He's a regular guest for A Bit of Culture and on Bigger Picture as well. So you can probably go to his talk. It's called Bloodlines, Poetry, Memory and the Family Album. So it's going to be held on the 18th of February. It's a Saturday at 3pm. Edin is going to explore how we remember our family and the narrative that we create out of our family lineage. Because Edin Koo, we know he comes from a very interesting background himself, right? So he will use his own family album to explore curious nature of memory and autobiography. Yeah.
Wow, that sounds really interesting.
Especially for people who are interested in family narratives and memories of them, right?
Yeah, I mean, we just had our Chinese New Year celebrations. Many of us went back to the hometown, but how much do we know of our family, you know, heritage and traditions?
Yeah, so if you want to explore that, you can go to Ilham Gallery. It's opposite Troika and International Hotel. It's just 5 minutes walk from Suriak LCC and the fee is free. So feel free to go there and immerse yourself in a talk by Edin Koo.
Great stuff. Alright, up next is a art event. It's called Art on the Move, a collaboration with Rapid KL. It's Think City's initiative and it aims to refresh public spaces with art and culture. It's happening all this month at the Masjid Jamek LRT station, which is pretty much, you know, where you need to go to transit.
Yep.
Right, so it's pretty much central.
Yeah, if you want to take the Ampang line, you have to definitely stop that, right?
Masjid Jamek. Yeah, so this weekend there'll be performances by the KL Sape Collective, Shantini Venugopal and more. Also, they have a life-size puppet show called Wooden Lives 2, which is a tale about two women from two different worlds. Also, an exhibition on display this weekend around the station are photographs from Studio DL. They had this project called Renaissance Kids, basically where they had 22 children roam the streets of KL and take pictures of what KL looks like from their eye.
Yep. It's events like this that I think people should actually explore more, because this is definitely the exploration of art on the street level.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's art being democratized and the people themselves are the one producing these arts for
and empowering it.
Yeah, empowering them as well. So
exactly.
It's definitely something that you should just like, I mean, at least give it a try once in your life, right?
Yes, there's no reason not to give it a try, because it's free of charge at the Masjid Jamek LRT station if you find yourself in the city or going somewhere. It's a different performance every day, actually. This weekend is the ones I just mentioned. So do head over to facebook.com/myrapid to check out their full list of schedules and performances for the rest of the month.
Next, we have something quite familiar, I think, for a lot of listeners out there, that X Youth, of course, they're going to be having another talk this year. So it's going to be held on the 25th of February. It's a Saturday from 11am to 6pm. It's going to be at EX8 Auditorium, Subang Jaya Industrial Estate. And the list of speakers, of course, when it comes to TEDx, you always want to know who's going to be on the list, right? So we have Ian Yee. He's an editor and executive producer for Rage, a documentary and investigative journalism platform under The Star.
Mm-hmm.
We have Takahara Suiko of the Venopian Solitude. We also have Rosella Mary, a musician and also an advocate for positive body image. We have John Payne. He's a Sumatran rhino conservationist. And Sasibai Kim is ethical fashion activist. So they haven't announced the full lineup yet, but these are the guests they're going to have so far.
That's cool. I mean, one thing I really like about the TEDx Youth Conferences is they bring people from all different fields. So you have people from journalism, people from music. If you want to learn about anything, you just need to sit in one place and just absorb the information.
Yeah, it's about idea sharing, right? Yeah, which is pretty interesting. Okay, so the fee is $68.90, so that's after GST. I mean, if you want to buy it now, you have to pay that price. It's a regular promotion. But if you want to get a promotion bundle where you will get a limited edition TEDx Youth at KL 2017 t-shirt, you have to pay RM90.10. And of course, if you want to walk in and get your ticket, it'll probably cost you RM106. So if you really want to go, get your tickets now. Okay, so just to repeat, it's going to be on the 25th of February, on a Saturday, from 11 to 6 p.m. at EX8 Auditorium, Subanjaya Industrial Estate. So if you want to find out more, you can go to TEDxYouthKL.com.
Right, up next, an event that celebrates a Malaysian legend, the musical journey of Zainal Abidin. We had him in the station a couple of months ago. He just turned heads around the station. I mean, he is a character and a figure in the music industry, just by itself. So he's a man that has been on the top of his game for more than 3 decades. This concert will also feature the band that gave him exposure to the music industry, Headwind. They will reunite for this show, so to catch their reunion and to relive the glory years while celebrating an iconic figure in Malaysian music. One show only is held on the 25th, the same day as TEDx Youth, but that's probably an afternoon session. This is at night, so you can head over to the Plenary Hall, KLCC. Tickets start from RM158 onwards. If you're a super fan, you can get the $900 tickets and have like maybe front row or close to front row.
I mean, I went to Rockaway and managed to see him perform. And yeah, he's definitely one of those artists that you need to see live. He commands the stage.
So if this tickles your fancy, you can head over to myticket.asia to get your tickets and to find out more.
Yeah, and you can go to both, right? You can go to TEDx Youth and then go to Zainal Abidin's concert, right?
25th of February, mark that date down.
Yep, special date. But if let's say you still need your monthly fix of music a bit earlier, you can probably dive into something a bit different, something that I think Daryl is a bit more familiar. KL Park will be hosting a Brazilian jazz saxophonist. His name is Leo Gendelman, and his event is called Brazilian Sax from Samba to Bossa Nova. So the name itself explains the kind of music that will be played for the show. So of course, Leo Gendelman, legendary jazz saxophonist from Brazil. It will only be for 2 nights, from the 10th and 11th of February 2017, 8:30 p.m. Pentas 1 KL Pack. If you want to get tickets, tickets start from RM60 to 100. If you want to find out more about the event, you can go to www.klpack.org.
I mean, how can you hit a saxophone, right? I mean, it's nothing to hate about it. You know, it's such so flexible. I'm probably going on a rant here, but it's so flexible. You can play in samba music to even bossa nova, modern jazz. Saxophone,
yep.
Man.
Yep.
2017 resolution.
Yep. Something that I need to explore more.
Yeah, still early in the year. And that brings to a close our picks for the exciting events, and also brings an end to our show. Thank you, Hanif, for being here with me today.
All right, no problem, Daryl.
If you'd like to check out the podcast for today's episode, you can head over to www.bfm.my/ilovekl. My name's Daryl Ong with
Hanif Baharuddin.
And you've been tuning into the show that brings you closer to the people, places and events of our capital city, right here on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.